Hey there, if you are ready to build your service-based business from scratch and ditch your 9-to-5, then I want you to head on over to shedidithowaypodcast.com/leap and download my free Ultimate Leap Checklist and Starter Kit. Again, you can head to shedidithowaypodcast.com/leap to download my Ultimate Leap Checklist and Starter Kit to get started on building your service-based business and ditching your 9-to-5. Hello and welcome to She Did It Her Way, a podcast dedicated to helping you launch a business that allows you the freedom to create from anywhere, design your own schedule in a way that supports you, and pursue what it is that lights you up. I'm Amanda Bolin, your host, and it is time to do it your way. Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of the She Did It Her Way podcast. As always, I'm super grateful and excited that you are tuning in today. Now on to today's guest, Jen. It was a pleasure sitting down with Jen. We got straight to the point, and I mean it when I say that she 14x'd her business, and you're going to find out and you're going to learn how she exactly did that and how she got clear, how she shifted her mindset. I got so much out of this conversation with Jen. I know you guys are going to get so much out. We're going to talk about how to discover the difference between social media and marketing for your personal brand versus a business. We're going to hear about Jen's coming to Jesus moment that led to her mindset shift, gain tools to help grow your business and go all in, and then understand how to find the right business coach and learn how to scale. We talk about the moments of being one foot on the dock and one foot on the boat. You guys know I love that phrase, but we really get into it. And part of Jen's success was making the decision and committing to go all in. And one of the other mindset shifts that she had, and the quote that she said during the interview, was the very first thing that needed to happen was this huge mindset shift that it wasn't about me. It was about the people I needed to serve, about the bigger vision that I had for myself, my family, and what I wanted to do in this world. Let's go to the show. Today, we are welcoming on Jen Scalia, who is a visibility strategist and online business coach. Jen, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, I'm so excited to be here with you today.
Yeah, well, I'm pumped to dive into what it is that you do and talk about your story of getting there, because I have a feeling that a lot of my listeners can relate to your story and can definitely benefit from everything that you teach your current clients and people that you work with. So why don't you tell us what it is that you do in your own words, and then we'll dive into how you got there.
Awesome. So like you said, I'm a visibility strategist. And basically what that is I help new and emerging entrepreneurs with the mindset and marketing to be authentically visible in business. Mostly I work with online entrepreneurs, so people who are consultants, coaches, maybe they have a retail store online, but mostly people who are online and service-based that really need to personal brand around their business. So I really help them kind of overcome their fears, their worries, and the doubts that they have with putting themselves out there in a big way.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I can even personally relate through the journey of the fears and, you know, overwhelming of not being good enough and the doubt and everything that comes with it, especially as a new entrepreneur. How did you find yourself to be in this position to where you are today?
Well, it's actually a very interesting story, because I had a background in marketing and social media. That's what I was getting paid for when I was working corporate jobs. I worked for some really large companies. I worked for a casino. I worked for a large physical therapy company. I worked for a mall. So I was helping them do all of their social media and marketing. So I had this background. And when I came online, I kind of came online thinking like I knew it all. And I kind of was a shocker for me, because it was totally different, you know. So being online and having a personal brand is very different than having an offline, you know, regular retail store or a corporation or company. So there was a huge learning curve for me. And I had all of these doubts and fears myself. The other part of this is something that most people don't believe about me, but I am a total introvert. So when it came to actually having to put myself out there, have a big banner on my website with my face splashed across it, there were huge fears that came up around that. And, you know, it actually kept me stuck for about a year and a half, which is why I'm so passionate about helping people overcome these things as soon as they start, and really helping them also with the mindset around that, because I think it's a really huge piece before we dive into strategy and really, you know, tactics and things like that. We kind of have to get our head in the game around building a brand like this and being seen. So because I had all those fears, like I said, it kept me stuck. And it wasn't until I really realized that I start to look at it very different. Like, there's people out there that need me. I knew I was here to change the world, and I had to do it for them. Once I made that shift in my mind, I was able to really just turn things around completely and skyrocket my business so fast that I don't even know what happened half the time. Like, I look back and I'm like, wow, this happened really fast. But the very first thing that needed to happen was this huge mindset shift that, you know, it wasn't about me. It was about the people that I needed to serve. Mm-hmm. And it was about this bigger vision that I had for myself, for my family, and what I wanted to do with the world.
Yeah. Oh, so how did you, a couple of things going back to some of the thing, what you said earlier, you know, what did you find as the difference between doing social media marketing for a business versus social media marketing for a personal brand or someone who's putting themselves out there?
I actually feel like it was a lot easier to do it for a bigger corporation because most of them were local. So we're targeting local people. They know about the company. They're really big brands. They're already kind of established. So it was a lot easier to kind of get people on board with that versus online, especially if you're just starting from scratch. No one knows who you are. So not only do you have to create this brand and build this business, but you have to get people to like you. You have to explore and find your own unique personality that people are going to understand and love. So there is just much more complex to do it for yourself and do it as a personal brand than it is to do it for a company.
Yeah. And then in terms of the mindset that you had, you mentioned that you just took a different perspective and thought about it differently. I mean, what was it, a part in that year and a half where you were stuck? I mean, was it an experience? Were you working with a coach, or how did you come to that shift?
A couple different things. So first, I always talk about this come to Jesus moment that I had where, you know, I was trying to do this on my own. I had just gotten a divorce. I was a single mom. I was like so determined to like make it happen on my own, but it just wasn't happening. And I really came to a point where I was like, wow, I can't really pay my bills, you know, and I got to figure out a way to make this work. And I either need to make this work or I need to go back and get a job. And that was the point that I came to where I was like, I need to do whatever it takes to make this work. And essentially what I did was I got over myself. And that's what I talk about all the time. It's like I let go of this ego that I had that it was all about me and what would people think about me and what is so-and-so going to say when I make a post on Facebook. And, you know, it wasn't even about that. And that was the shift that I had to make. And once I started shifting into these people need me, they need my help, then I got really inspired. I got inspired to create things. I got inspired to put myself out there, even though it was scary and it was a little bit uncomfortable. And so that's exactly why I love to help people that are in the same position.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to the moment, like take us back to the scene where you were at your coming to Jesus moment and it was, okay, either get a job or I make this work. I mean, it would have been so, I feel like it would have been easy for someone in that position to be like, okay, I'll just get a job. I'm calling it quits. Cause I feel like a lot of us get into that. I feel like that is part of the journey until you hit a certain part where you have this like coming to Jesus moment. I mean, what was it? Take us back to what it was like and paint us a picture of what you were going through.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a low point in my life. Like I said, I had gotten divorced. I was a single mom. I was trying to stay in the house that I was in with my ex to, you know, I wanted to kind of prove myself like, oh, I can do this on my own and I can pay for my own stuff, you know, and it just was at the point where it wasn't happening, you know, and it wasn't happening fast enough. And I really had to evaluate myself and what was I really doing? And if I really look back into that year and a half, I really wasn't doing a whole lot. I was doing a lot of like stuff that I thought I needed to do, like creating social media platforms and, you know, making tweaks on my website and stuff like that. But like, I didn't even have a work with me page on my website. I wasn't asking people to work with me. I wasn't, you know, making calls to action. I wasn't inviting people on phone calls. And so I really had to reflect on what's going on here and are you really committed to this? And that's what I decided to do. I decided to actually go all in, even though I had previously thought I was going all in. But I really had to evaluate as to what I was actually doing on a daily basis to make this work.
Mm-hmm. So looking to saying, you thought you were doing what you needed to be doing. And then it wasn't until like, then you had this reframe of like, no, I'm going to go all in. These are the things that I need to have. Can you share more about some of the other things that you were doing in that time frame of when you thought you were going in all in? Like, you know, and I, yeah. I mean, I, when you say those things, I'm like, oh yeah, I was totally there. I've been there like almost for 2 years where I had one foot on the dock and one foot on the boat yeah. in terms of putting time and energy into my independent contracting, because that's how I started out in the real world, or the not real world, but
into the fake world.
Yeah, the fake world, the entrepreneurship world. And it was like, I had just let She Did It Her Way on the side. And it wasn't until probably about 9 months ago that I'm like, okay, I'm actually going to invest time to grow this. And things started shifting. So like, give us an idea. What are some other things that you're doing in that time frame? And then give us some, I know you mentioned about like a work with me page, but what are some other mm-hmm. things that you started implementing to help grow your business and to really go all in?
Totally. Yeah. So I remember having this pink legal pad, and I thought it was so cool because it's pink and not yellow. And it was literally covered like front and back 10 pages of to-dos, like things that I thought I had to do. And most of the time I was spending learning. Which is great because I love learning and I am a lifelong student. But most of the time I was like just wasting my time and kind of fiddling around, like watching webinars, you know, downloading stuff, taking these small little like $97 courses and watching them. So I was spending a lot of time like consuming. I wasn't really creating content. I spent a lot of time on social media, but it wasn't really productive. I was just kind of like posting quotes on social media. I think I spent just way too much, an exorbitant amount of time tweaking my website once it was up. And I, you know, I was just like, I didn't even realize like nobody's even going to my website. Like literally maybe 50 people are going to my website a day, if that. And yeah, I spent a lot of time doing that. I spent a lot of times doing like little graphics and stuff that I could post on social media, but nothing that would actually get me clients. And I see people do this all the time now. A lot of my clients, a lot of people that are in my, you know, my audience, like they're like, oh, I'm doing this stuff, you know, I'm checking things off the box. And I'm like, but what are you actually doing to get clients? Are you on the phone with people? Are you creating content? Are you you know, making calls to action for people to work with you? Are you creating programs? Are you doing sales calls? Like those are the things that are actually going to get you clients. And those were the things I was not doing for sure in that first year and a half. Mm-hmm. I was scared. I was scared of rejection. And I think a lot of people are. So we don't put ourselves out there and we don't make the ask.
Yeah. And I, to second that on learning, I feel like sometimes learning can be good, but also it can be used as a form of procrastination.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We convince ourselves like, oh, at least I'm doing something. At least I'm learning. At least I'm consuming. But then it doesn't matter if we're not actually taking action, and the experience in and of itself is going to be a bigger teacher than just consume, consume, consume.
Absolutely. One of my mentors always says, you know, like there's a difference between like practice and training, you know, like you can practice, you can educate yourself. But when you're training, like you're actually in the ring and you're like doing the work. So, yes, you can get some clarity and things by, you know, educating yourself and taking classes and courses and reading and webinars. But the real clarity and the real, you know, momentum is going to come once you're actually doing it and you're in it and you're coaching people or you're doing whatever it is that you do.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay. So then you have that switch. And what year did you have that switch in?
So that was in 2014. That was about actually around this time in 2014. It was around, I remember it was like around February. And then I also started looking for mentors, which is something that previously I didn't think that I needed. I just, you know, I was always very smart, type A, you know, straight A's in school. You know, I always did very well. I didn't actually think that I needed to like get a mentor, you know? And that was one of the other shifts that I made, was actually like, hey, who can I hire or who can I get in touch with or who can I connect with that can help me do this a lot faster. And it took me a little while to find somebody that I actually, you know, wanted to work with. So I would say about mid 2014, I hired my first coach, and it was a huge stretch for me. It was not a small investment by any means. But I knew that I had to do it to move my business forward. And I really feel like that was the thing that pushed me, you know, over the edge as far as like having incredible momentum in my business.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, and a couple questions to that too. One, how did you figure out if this person, whether he or she was the right coach for you? What sort of things did you ask yourself? Did you look for? How did you know? What was sort of that vetting process for you?
Yeah, it was interesting because, like I said, I did, got it in my head that, like, yeah, maybe I should hire someone. And I had talked to a couple people on the phone, done some discovery calls. No one was really clicking for me. And I also remember thinking, like, oh my gosh, this is so expensive, And like, that was the things that was going through my head. And the funny thing is that this person reached out to me. She had seen me in a group. And I guess she could see, that I was trying and I was ambitious and I was trying to do something. And she was like, hey, I'd love to get on the phone with you and just do a complimentary call, for an hour. So we did that. She didn't not pitch her services at the end. She literally like just wanted to help me. And I don't know, maybe it was part of her tactic. But as soon as I hung up the phone with her, I just thought like, oh my God, I need this woman to help me with my business. I just felt it. I knew that she was the right person to help me. So I had reached back out to her and I said, I need to work with you. How much is it? And when she gave me the price, it was a price that was a lot higher than what I've heard before. But in that moment, I just knew that I had to do it. And to me, the price wasn't expensive anymore. And that's how I knew because I was excited. It was scary. It was a huge stretch for me, but I was excited to invest in her, or invest in myself through her.
Yeah, I mean, a definite, like, I can imagine too, like, when you know, it's like dating, I feel like.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, no, I totally, that's amazing. And then, so when you started working with this individual, then I mean, the following piece of it, what changed for you in that journey? So this is now end of 2014. Like, how did your business start then growing? Like, talk to us about some of your metrics, or what did you start doing at that time? How did it
Yeah,
increase? All that good stuff.
totally. Oh, this is the good stuff. So, I started working with her. Like I said, it was a total stretch. I was lucky enough that she extended like a really generous payment option for me, and I was able to swing it. It was still a little bit of a stretch, but I was totally able to swing it. And the funny thing is that, I hired her as a business coach. But we really ended up doing a lot more inner work and mindset work during our time together because I already knew the social media. I already knew the marketing. Like I was already very smart in those areas. And I didn't realize that that missing link was the mindset piece, and it was the identity piece, and it was the worthiness piece. I mean, I thought that making 40 grand a year was good. I mean, that's what I was getting paid in my corporate job. I thought that people who made 60 grand a year were doing great. I thought a household that made six figures a year was like rich. That was my mentality going into it. And once I kind of got into the space and I started seeing what other people were doing, they were making $40,000 a month. They were making 100 grand a month. I like that completely shifted for me. And she helped me so much in that area to realize what was possible. And then, to be able to like completely like shatter this invisible income ceiling. So as I started working with her, and probably a little bit before I started working with her, I was making probably around $4,000 to $5,000 a month. Sometimes it was 6,000, so it was pretty good, but it wasn't enough for me to invest. I wanted to continue to invest in my business, so it was good. I mean, it wasn't horrible. A lot of people would be really happy with that, but I just knew that I could do so much more. So we finished working together at the end of 2014, and that is when I had my first five-figure month, which I feel like is like the holy grail for, us entrepreneurs. It's like, I just want that 10K month. And I did it and I totally manifested it. I said I wanted 11 grand. I had no idea how I was gonna do it. It was Christmas time. I was like, people aren't buying stuff. It's Christmas. I had that mentality going on. And but I really wanted to provide something for my son. I wanted him to have a great Christmas. I didn't want to have to worry about anything. And I literally made exactly $11,000 that month, which was insane.
That's
And
amazing.
yeah, and then once that happened for me, there was another huge shift of like, holy crap, this is totally possible. And I believe it. And then from there, my business just skyrocketed. I never even got to 20K a month. I never even got to 30K a month. The following month, I went to 50K. And it was literally like, has been like the lowest that I've made every month since then.
Hell yeah, girl.
So I literally went from that 2014 year, I think I grossed about 35K, which now looking back, I'm like, well, no wonder, because that's what I thought was normal, And then that year in 2015, I did over $500,000 that year. So in 1 year, I went from 35,000 to 500, over
That's like
500,000.
crazy. That's amazing. I mean, that's bigger than 10Xing.
Yeah,
Get it,
it's
girl.
14X.
Yes. So a couple of things that stood out for me too in that I want to circle back is, one, during that mindset shift, I know a lot of, I mean, I had even experienced a little bit of like, you almost feel guilty for wanting more, especially when it comes to money, because we've been raised to say like, oh, money is evil.
Yes.
Well, or like there's a scarcity mindset that, oh, if I make more, someone else makes less, which is actually really, it's false. And then I want to talk about like, how did your packages and offerings change? And so how did you scale them in order to create that massive amount of revenue? So let's start with the mindset and then we'll go into like your coaching packages and how you created that revenue.
Yeah, I think mindset is kind of a big word, you know, and it's kind of a buzzword, especially now in the entrepreneur space. But it's so important. But for me, really, what it meant for me was belief. It was total belief in myself that I could do it, that I was worthy of, you know, charging higher prices, of making more money, and that also that I would know what to do with the money when I got it, you know, that I wasn't going to be irresponsible with the money. So I think it has a lot for me to do with the belief and identity, like identifying with somebody who is making six figures, multiple six figures, seven figures. You know, you have to be in a completely different place. You have to do things completely differently. You're hanging out with different people. You're doing different things on a daily basis. You are making different decisions. So I think those were the two big pieces for me when it comes to mindset, is the belief and the worthiness, and then also identifying with someone who was making that amount of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that the piece of identifying with someone making that kind of money, I think too, is it's identifying someone that you, or at least like one of the things that we did in an exercise was identifying, okay, who are the people like that are wealthy that were like, I don't know, just for example, Paris Hilton, but then also like finding someone who has that wealth that you can then look at in a way where it's a positive and not necessarily like a negative, and channeling that difference of it for that as well. How did you, after you changed your belief, what did you restructure, or what did you set into motion that allowed you to scale and to 14X your company in the following year?
Yeah, I mean, definitely the first thing was raising my prices, because I was charging like very, very little. I remember the first coaching package that I sold was $495 to work with me for a month. And so, you know, that was the first thing, was believing that I could raise my prices and that people would actually pay it. I started taking on a lot of one-on-one clients, but then I also started doing groups, which was awesome. So at first it was a little scary for me because I am an introvert, and I remember being part of groups before and not wanting to speak up when I was on calls and things like that. But I found that the experience of like a group coaching is a lot of times more impactful than one-on-one, because you're able to kind of be around people who are doing the same thing. You're able to hear their challenges, their struggles, their solutions. And a lot of times when you're in a group coaching setting, you're hearing things that maybe you didn't think of, or maybe you're like, oh my gosh, I need that in my business too. So there's a lot of good that can come from that. And so that's essentially what I do now, is all group coaching and masterminds. I don't do any one-on-one work anymore.
Nice. So, and then as you were scaling this, I can imagine, I mean, how did it affect the behind the scenes of your business, if it did? I mean, did you have to implement different systems, or like what were you doing going on behind the scenes as you were scaling up and creating group coaching, and what did you have to do?
Well, I definitely needed a good team. And in the first year, my team was okay. It was so-so. I kind of hired just, you know, I didn't really think about the people that I hired. I actually ended up firing my entire team at one time, because I had just gone through a launch and I really felt like I was doing it all on my own. Like I was like, wow, why am I paying these people all this money every month and I still feel like I'm doing it all on my own? And I hired a brand new team, and they've been wonderful, and they've been with me for 2.5 years now. And, you know, so I think, you know, definitely getting the right team in place. And it doesn't have to be a big team. And I think that's a common misconception, is people think, okay, if I go to multiple six figures or I go to seven figures, I'm going to have to be responsible for a lot of people. I have to have a big team. I have to have this. I have to have that. I have two people on my team outside of like, you know, a copywriter or designer that are my, outsourced, but I have two core people on my team and they are just so wonderful. They believe in my mission, they believe in my business, and they're able to do all the things that I don't want to do. So finding a right team is crucial to be able to pick up those pieces, as far as like the back end stuff, the logistics, payment stuff, failed payments, customer service, like all that stuff. You can't do that yourself. If you're wanting to be in that position of a CEO or somebody who's making multiple six figures or seven figures, absolutely, you need to cut that out and have somebody else do it for you.
Yeah. So when you do your launches, how do you schedule? Because I know some people do a launch every quarter and then they have this yearly calendar, but like, how do you plan for your launches or your offerings? What have you found to work best for you?
Yeah, for me, it's very different than I feel like a lot of people who have had a lot of success. For me, everything I do is has to be completely 100% inspired. The offers that I come out with, when I launch them, how I launch them, it has to feel good for me. If it doesn't feel good, if it feels too much stress, if it feels too, laid out and perfect, it just doesn't jive with me. It doesn't feel good for me. So typically, at the beginning of the year, I kind of know like what I want to launch and approximate dates I want to launch, but I'm always open to things shifting and changing and doing things a different way. So for me, I am, a lot of people look at me and they say like, Jen, you launch all the time. And I actually don't see it that way. Because I actually see it as just being open for business and making sure that I'm making multiple offers to my audience, because different strokes for different folks is kind of my motto.
Yeah.
And some people might want a high level mastermind, and some people might just want to be in my membership site, and some people might want a 2-day experience at my house. Some people might want a workshop. So I like to offer a lot of different things to my audience. So I'm never really doing like this huge launch, like a Marie Forleo B school type of launch, like once or twice a year. Like I'm typically always selling something.
I love hearing that perspective too, and just how it's successful and working for you too, because I think there's a lot of has to be so planned out, it has to be strategic, it has to follow this criteria, and making sure that you're following up with this email at one time, but saying to you and following your gut and intuition. Have you always been someone who's followed and listened to their gut, or is that something that you have that sort of, you've exercised that and have gotten to be more familiar with it over time?
I think I always was there. I feel like I've always been that way, but definitely in business, like I've noticed that when I trust myself and when I just do things that feel really inspired, that's when I get the best results. That's when I get the most people signing up for my stuff. It's not when I have these planned out things that I think I have to do. Every time I've had a planned out thing, it's never worked out the way that I've wanted to. I remember I launched this course last year, and it was actually a manifesting course, which was very different than a lot of the work that I do, which is around marketing and social media and business. And it was just something that was on my heart, because I really feel like I manifested this entire business, my life, my house, my relationship, everything. And I got a nudge one morning that was like, you need to teach people about this. It's time. And I literally just sent an email to my list, which is a small list in comparison to a lot of the big gurus out there. And I just said, hey, I'm going to start teaching this stuff. This is what I've been able to manifest over the last 2 years. It's incredible. This is exactly how I do it. There's a there's a method behind it. And I want to share it with you. And this was on a Tuesday, and I said, we're starting on Monday. So literally it was 6 days, and I had 111 people sign up.
What?
No sales page, no like drawn out launch, no webinar, no Facebook ads, nothing.
Oh, that's got to feel good. Well, how did you decide to price it what you priced it? Was that also just kind of like laid on you that you're like, okay, this feels good?
Yeah, pretty much. That's how I do all my pricing, is just kind of like, what do I want to price it at? What do I feel like is fair, but also feel like is, a no-brainer for people to say yes to? Yeah.
So then how do you kind of segue into some of the day-to-day stuff? How do you manage your day-to-day, and how many group coachings do you have going on at a time like right now?
I would say group coachings at one time, I would have between 2 and 3. So not too many. They usually, if they overlap, it's usually maybe only 1 or 2 weeks that are overlapping. So it's not huge on me. I'm not on the phone really at all during the week. I'm maybe on the phone for about 6 hours a week. I would say I work about 20 hours a week. If I'm launching something or I have something, you know, coming up, like I have a book coming out in a couple weeks, you know, I do work a little bit more. But other than that, I've really streamlined my schedule because number one, I have that great team that I talked about. So they're picking up a lot of the slack on the stuff that I used to do before, that I thought I had to do that I really don't have to do. They're doing all that stuff. You know, they're handling all the logistics and the customer service stuff and the emails and all of that kind of stuff. And most of my focus is on number one, serving my clients that I already have, my paying clients that are in my mastermind and my membership. And number two, creating content. Mm-hmm. So I love to create content, like whether that's creating an opt-in, creating a really awesome Facebook post, whether that's doing a live stream. So those are really the two main things that I spend my time on each and every day.
Yeah. I mean, those are really great things to love too, especially the position that you're at, is to love like creating that content. And because ultimately, I mean, the people are, they want to work with Jen. And so it's so important. What advice would you, what's like the one, if you could only give one piece to someone who's in the beginning stages or looking to transition out of their side hustle to main hustle, what would it be?
Gosh, there's a lot, but I would say if I had to choose one, it is get the right mindset and the right mentor, and you can pretty much do anything you want.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You can accomplish anything.
What's something that you are like personally working on right now in terms of your growth and development?
Definitely bigger platforms. So like I mentioned, a book that's coming out.
Yeah, talk to us about that.
Yeah, so the book is actually called Your First Six Figures. And I talk to people about how they can create freedom, flow, and financial success with their online business. So it literally is, you know, it's part, you know, my story, but the other part is very strategic, step by step. This is how you actually do it. It's amazing. It's literally like a course inside of a book. So it's incredible.
When is that coming out?
And so that's actually coming out on February 20th, which is actually also my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
So yeah, it's a very meaningful date for me. But yes, I'm super excited to share it because I know a lot of people that are just starting don't have the money, you know, or don't have the funds to be able to invest just yet into their business and getting a mentor and things like that. So this book will definitely help someone who is in those beginning to middle stages and really feeling like I'm watching all the webinars, I'm doing all the stuff that I feel like I have to do, but it's still not working. And I give practical, tactical, step-by-step processes on exactly what to do to not only shift your mindset, but also to create a tribe of people who want to buy from you.
Mm-hmm. How did you, I mean, what was your learning lesson when you were building up your email list? Like, do you feel that is one of the major, I mean, you just talked about how you sent out an email on, was it Tuesday? And then you had 100 some people. So, I mean, email is pretty important. Any sort of like tips or like, do these three things, don't do these three things. Like, what do you feel you attribute your success to when it comes to your email list?
Oh yeah. Email list is so important. I feel like a lot of people skip right over it. They think I have social media, I have Facebook, I have this. Like, no, you have to grow your list. Like, it's so important for you to grow that list of people who are actually saying, yes, I want to hear from you, because they're the ones that are going to buy from you. So don't neglect list growth. You've got to figure out a way to grow your list and get people on that list. The second thing is definitely you have to communicate with them. So once they're on your list, make a commitment to communicate with them every week. I say a minimum, like absolute minimum, one time a week, if not multiple times. I email my list every day, and they're used to me emailing them every day, you know? So I wouldn't dive right into that, but get work up to that point, because I started at once a week.
Yeah. Do you then for yours, like, are you strategic? Do you batch ahead of time, or is it more of like every day you sit down and you shoot an email off?
Yep, exactly. Sit down every day, whatever I'm inspired to write about, or even ask myself, like when I'm in the shower or when I'm journaling, I'll say, what do I want to say? What do I want to talk to people about today? And then I get the idea and then I will write it. Yeah, I find that when I batch it and then it's like getting released on my behalf later on, it doesn't have the same energy and it doesn't have the same response as when I'm like in the moment, I'm creating it, I'm excited about it, I'm feeling into it. Then I usually get people responding to me. Like, I get really good response rates to emails when I'm in the moment and when I'm energetically aligned to the message that's being.
Oh, girl. Well, I'm excited to read your book. Now, aside from your book, obviously, what's another book that you've read that's really helped inspire you and move you forward in your business and life?
Yeah, there's a couple, but if I were to suggest one to your audience,
You can
I
do
would
two.
say, I would say for sure The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. That book really helps with the resistance piece. So if you have any resistance to like doing the work or showing up or your fear of rejection or anything like that, this book, it's a short read. Like, I think I read it in like 3 hours, so it's super easy to read. But it really helps you from that creative point of view on like how to move forward when you're feeling like resistance and pushing up against that. So I love that book. I would say the second book, just from a practical standpoint of actually growing a business versus growing a brand or growing a, social media following, is Profit First. Can't say the guy's last name, but it's
Mike Michalowicz.
Michael something. There you go, you said
He's
it.
so good.
So I read that book in the beginning and I was, wow. Like, the first thing I did was I started splitting my bank accounts and I started paying myself. And that's another thing. I see a lot of people will come to me and they have their finances are a mess. They're mixing their business with their personal accounts. They're not paying themselves. Like, it's like this book was just so good from a practical standpoint of like actually profiting from your business.
Yes, I second that. It's such an amazing book. Oh my gosh, Jen, this has been 100% absolutely amazing. I feel like we've covered so much in a short amount of time. I just thank you so much for your energy and your openness and showing up for this interview. Tell my listeners where they can find out more information about you.
Yes, a couple different places. My website, where I have some really awesome free stuff right on the homepage. I have a little mini course about mindset, for those of you that really want to get your mindset in the right place. I have some guides about visibility and being authentically visible right at jenscalia.com. Super simple. If you want to follow me anywhere on social media, I'm Jen Scalia everywhere because apparently there is no other Jen Scalias, or at least I was the first one to grab all the handles. So I'm literally Jen Scalia everywhere: Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, everywhere. And also I have a Facebook group at jenscalia.com/tribe, and that will take you right to my Facebook group. I have 13,000 people in there. It's called Badass and Brazen Entrepreneurs. And it's awesome.
Love it. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you so much. This was awesome.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast episode. For more information, check out shedidherway.com. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I would love for you to leave me a review on iTunes and let me know what you think. Until next time, keep doing it your way.